We have a special guest with us from Herd Orchards, Amy McAmer, for an update on what they're doing. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
A lovely day, right? Wow.
Oh, my
things
gosh.
Are going to pop into bloom.
We're in the countryside, and I just have to share, we're looking at beautiful, wide-open farm fields and green grass and big tractors out planting spring peas. And, yeah, it's really, really pretty today.
You've updated and added more online options at herdorchards.com,
yes.
Right?
Yes, we have. Yes. So we've kind of taken a little bit of a new approach to our online ordering, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to have to share with folks. So first of all, we have a lot of Mother's Day in a basket on our website, which is really exciting. You know, we've shipped things for years, but I think that now at this kind of crossroads, the ability to ship and or have things delivered or picked up in a unique way is ever more profoundly important. So for Mother's Day this year, we have a Mother's Day tea in a box. So that has in it a scone mix that is so easy and will make about 6 scones and our incredible raspberry rhubarb preserves, which are, I think, our family's all-time favorite, and wonderful little tea cookies and our Herd Orchards spring blend tea. And then in order to be able to have something to kind of accompany, a little cream cheese sandwich, a little tea sandwich of some kind, in a beautiful blackberry blueberry jam, which is kind of neat. And so that's our shippable box. But then we're also offering, and this is brand new, 2 other options for Mother's Day tea in a basket. And those will have the addition of some homemade bread and also just a fresh, simple little fresh, cheerful wildflower bundle. And those we have as available for pickup at our market if people want a drive into this gorgeous western New York countryside on Saturday, the 9th of May, the day before Mother's Day, for pickup or for delivery at our favorite Rochester spot, which is in the parking lot of the First Baptist Church on the corner of Clover and Allen's Creek, also on Saturday the 9th. I think that's between 10 and 2. And so those are really new offerings. That the pickup and the delivery, we haven't done that before on our website, but we're excited about that and hoping that that's something that people will respond to. And guess what? We just got that all organized on our website a couple of days ago, and we've got lots of orders already, so we're really excited. But we also have other things. So we have a wonderful new thing. You know, we connect with people who, like us, appreciate and make handmade things. I was a wonderful young woman who does salt marsh pottery and presses wildflowers in it, and she did a little custom grouping of little dishes that say Herd Orchards and have hand-tinted pressed wildflowers. And so we have a beautiful little set of our gift boxes, keepable storage boxes. They're very sweet, and the top one has the little pretty custom-made dish, and the bottom one has a blackberry Chambord jam and our raspberry rhubarb. So that's lovely. But then the other thing we're doing in this unusual time period is recognizing that, you know, many of our beautiful things that we make and offerings from our farm are for gifts, are for giving, and for something special, just a beautiful, delightful, you know, uptick in spirit. But the other thing is just people wanting to eat wholesome foods straight from the farm to fill their pantry shelves and to eat kind of that farm goodness. And so our other collections online will be changing with each couple of weeks through the year, and they are really featured on what we're making that's shippable right now that is to eat for supper tonight. And so right now our collection of 3 things are so great. The raspberry rhubarb jam, again, because here we are with rhubarb beautiful and green and bursting out of the garden and raspberries that we froze from our season last year. But then also a jar of our Northern Spy applesauce just made with the last of last year's harvest. So yummy, a classic, open and eat. And then a jar of our blackcurrant, black cherry, and berry, which I think is our most unique preserve because the black currants give kind of a depth and twist to the flavor that makes it a perfect complement for a main dish. So with anything savory, whether it's a little cheese and crackers before dinner or a snack, or whether it's to accompany a roast chicken or to put with, you know, any pork or poultry are perfect, but any savory of any kind. And it's absolutely a charming, really magical kind of a flavor. And so those are our late spring offering of for your pantry, but also could be sent as a gift, although they're not just dropped in a box. So those are our offerings right now, and we're excited about them. But I'll also just say that our vision is, as this season unfolds, that will be a fresh collection every several weeks as each new, you know, half season begins, early spring, early summer, late summer, midsummer. And so keep watching our website. We'll be sending lots of emails and updating other outreach through other media. But that will be a fresh and revolving, changeable, seasonally reflective collection that allows us to make things in a focused way, make things safely, not just offering a million things all at once, and kind of guiding our guests to what is straight from the farm, but also guiding folks, frankly, for how they can support us in this really unusual time. So we're hoping that our website is really a communicator and helpful for guests who have expressed to us, how can we help? Well, this is a way that we can tangibly and concretely help in a way that's doable for us. So we're excited about a little bit of a new aspect, I would say, to our longstanding website and online offering.
We have Amy Mackamer with us from Herd Orchards from the previous hour. And Amy, we were talking before we lost you about the online options, and people can, you've added to those at herdorchards.com, right?
We have. We're excited. I think that our vision is that our online offerings will be a way to connect with our farm. You know, I should just add here in parenthesis that we feel so lucky because our guests at our farm, just like you, Michael, over the years are a part of us. They're a part of our farm. And so staying in touch is going to be really important through this season, no matter what shape and form it comes in. And so I think that our online offerings and our online messages are going to be a really important part of that. Our vision is that our website through the year will be focusing in a really dynamic way, in a changeable way, on what is being offered from our farm, how you can buy it or access it, whether it's a drive to the country, and we are going to be doing right from our pavilion, a pickup program. We're hoping to have our market gardens and other places that are special on our farm that even aren't always made accessible to our guests be some places of beauty for families or individuals to just come and relax and enjoy picking up their produce, enjoying a breath of fresh air as today is so gorgeous as a representative of how lovely it can be in the country, or whether it's our pickup location in Rochester at the First Baptist Church, corner of Clover and Allen's Creek, or we've had a wonderful Lockport contingent that has also said they are organizing a pickup location for our produce, or whether it's shippable through FedEx directly from our farm to your doorstep or around the nation. And so I think our website is going to be a wonderful fulcrum for bringing that seasonality to our guests in a way that's easy, easy to communicate and orderable in one package or another. And we're very, very excited about that. So right now we have Mother's Day things on our website, our Mother's Day tea in a box, shippable, our Mother's Day tea in a basket, pick-upable at our market or at our location at the Baptist Church in Rochester. We have a wonderful spring meadow box, just wildflower oriented with a few jams. It's lovely. And then we have, very importantly, and we're going to be doing this all year, very seasonally specific jarred things made from our Wholesome Farm products that are for your pantry, that are for you to open and eat. You can also send them as a gift easily, but they are intended to be opened and to add to your supper or your breakfast or your noontime meal in a way that's wholesome. We want our guests to know that farms continue in all of this time. Our farm team has diligently been working out in the fields. You can't not take care of fruit crops. They're perennial. They need the TLC that we give them every year or they decline. And so we're caring for trees. Beautiful rhubarb is up. Strawberries are under row covers. Our teams are working very safely, which we worked on early in March, developing that plan. And so the harvest from our farm will be there, wholesome, nutritious, grown in the fresh Western New York sunshine, and beautiful, ample rainfall. And we need to find increasingly new ways to help that get to the Western New York citizenry and to our longtime supporters. And so we hope that our website will be one place that will be a central place where you can see what's coming from the farm, see what's offered, and how you can get it. And so that's, we're excited about that. You know, our online offers have always been only gift-oriented. We see it as much more than that now. And I think that's the most important change in our website and also just the seasonal changes we'll be having. You know, you can order a flat of fresh strawberries. Obviously, that would not be shipping, pickup, or delivery once we get into strawberry season in June. We'll be having many interesting offerings from our farm. And so I'm glad you wanted to speak about this because I think, you know, the other comment that I would make that's an overarching one is that, you know, if you think of a farm model such as ours, and many small farms are this way, you know, based a lot on people coming together, being together, congregating, whether it's a crowded market that we might have on a sunny October pick-your-own-apple day and our barn filled with people having lovely apple pie, or whether it's an event that we're hosting. And those things are now needing to change, obviously. And so in this period of time, I think a message, and I do think most Americans understand this, but a message from us at Herd Orchards would be, you know, those are big changes in our normal ability to carry on. And so finding ways that you can connect, you can be supportive, and you can help sustain our farm, that word sustainability, it, in this era, takes on the meaning that it really needs to have all the time, and that is in part the financial sustainability of our ability to farm and to be here. And so it's a really important message. So I'm just delighted that you wanted to, that you were curious enough to want to talk about what we're doing and how we're making our farm accessible. And so anyway, I hope that that's helpful for you and for all of your listeners.
Yeah. One last thing, you mentioned to me a while ago that one of your customers had called and ordered 30 pies, that may be apple pies, that they were going to maybe give to employees or friends or something, and but they were looking to support Herd Orchards, but also to give something to someone, and so that was pretty
beautiful.
Cool. Yeah.
It was so cool. It was so cool, and that happened to be owners of a business that's in the medical arena, and that was the Friday before Easter, and they had really, you know, a couple weeks before and said, we really want to give our employees a little uplift, just a lovely, wholesome, delicious. We've had actually a lot of thank yous from their staff saying what a nice gift that was. But it was also then they were in, you know, insightful enough to say, you know, not just something, but something that's also supporting, you know, they've been longtime friends of ours and friends of our farm. And so they were very conscious, I'm sure, about the fact that ordering 30 pies from us was a really nice order to get. It was really helpful at our end. And so that was, it was just a really cool thing. It was people, you know, it was really really evidence of thoughtful people who cared about their relationships, business-wise, food-wise, employee-wise, community-wise. It was great. Really great.
So you have frozen pies available now, or when will they become available?
We do. So we have apple pies that we made with our northern spies. Remember, we grow our northern spies especially to make apple pies. And so we do that early in the wintertime. We freeze them raw, and that's the only bake we really freeze, but it's really successful because when you bake that, it's really just about like having a fresh pie. They're delicious and wonderful. We also make apple raspberry. We will be making throughout the season, our fruit pies in step, in season. So blueberry pies in blueberry season, and rhubarb pies coming up really soon. We are able to use our frozen cherries, our frozen tart cherries from last year's harvest, and make cherry pies. We're about to embark on that. So again, watch our website and other outreach and messages that we give about how you can connect with that. We don't have a packaging developed to ship a pie, a fresh baked pie or frozen through regular transport, post office or carrier of any kind. But so those would be for pickup, either in Rochester or with our new Lockport connection or at our market. And so watch for ways that you can connect with our wonderful pies. We will have maybe pie days coming up or certain days when you can order and pick up certain things. So that's going to be really fun. I think pies have been, pies are so funny. They're so all American and universally, whether it's, cowboys on the range or old New England dinners, they're just, or deep Southern, pecan pie. Pies are American, and they're a part of our culture. They're a part of our farm and something that we've been so proud when we can use our own fruit to make. And so we view pies themselves as being a wonderful way to get our produce to people in yummy, happy meal-ending ways. So yeah, stay tuned.
They smell amazing in the oven, too, of course.
Yes.
But Amy,
yes.
Thank you. I appreciate touching base with you, and can't wait to see the cherries and the apple trees blooming.
Ah, and it's coming. And that's the other thing. My parting comment, and so thank you, Michael, for all of your support, but my parting comment is, it's been a little cool. We're hoping everything's okay inside those buds, but the buds are back. You look at a peach orchard right now in western New York, and it's what we call in pink, which means that it's, the pink bud can be seen, so there's a little bit of a glow, but they're not in full bloom yet. We're expecting that the first warm days, sweet cherries in their icy white blossoms and peaches in their, coral pink, just hot pink, will burst into bloom. And that's, even if it's just to get a breath of fresh air, drive out to our farm or to your nearest orchard area and just see spring in bloom. Western New York, an elegance of Western New York with the prevalence of orchards hugging the lake shores is springtime. But it's so elusive. You never know the exact date. So it's really hard to plan an event or tell people when to come. But just keep your eyes open for that first 70-degree day. And I think it's going to be quite glorious here in Western New York. So all thank right. you, Michael, very, very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yep.
Bye-bye. That's Amy McComber, Herd Orchards, 200-year-old farm and just west of Brockport on Route 104. And again, check their website for details, herdorchards.com. And right here in Rochester on Mount Hope Avenue is the Elwanger Estate. And we have Rosemary Janofsky with us, who has added to the estate somewhat with a guest house next door recently. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Michael.
Hard to beat a weather like this, right? As you look out on the Elwanger Garden.
Oh, and visitors galore today. So, yes, that's fabulous.
And for people that aren't familiar with the Elwanger Estate, give us some background on what you have there on Mount Hope Avenue.
Right. So the estate itself is George Elwanger's private residence, and it is the the Living Museum of Town, I believe, coupled with the Alwinger Garden, which is privately owned by the Landmark Society, so they weed, mulch, and maintain it. But the George Alwinger home or estate, it was his private residence for 112 years, so I'm the fourth owner. And now it's a bed and breakfast. It had been. People know it as the Rose Mansion, and that was back in the 80s, and that was a 10-room bed and breakfast. Now it's four. Perfect for social distancing and a glam life. So, yeah, that's what we're doing here now. It's been 11 years. It's been a trip.
And it's completely hidden, really, by the big stone wall on Mount Hope Avenue. So it's really hard to see the Alwinger Mansion.
It's like a secret garden. We call it the Urban Retreat. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And once you're back here, you have 4 acres just to wander. And it's a virtual petting zoo. Well, actually, yeah, it's virtual. You're not going to be petting the wild turkeys and the fox and the deer, but, oh, they're everywhere. And they coexist beautifully.
And the so you're open for people to stay,
I
remember from being in the mansion, there's like an organ on the stairwell. I mean, this is a big mansion.
It's 6,000 square feet, and it has wraparound veranda. Certainly, the organ on the stairwell is a functioning organ. It wasn't original here. It was original next door at 609, where the Alwinger son, he was an organist at the local church, and he ordered this from Hookston Hastings in Boston, Massachusetts, in the 1860s. When the granddaughters moved here, because they liked their grandfather's home oh so much better, they brought the organ, which was no little feat. That was a bump out of some real estate, and it's a grand organ. It's about 500 to 600 pipes, and it still plays. I mean, it's 150 years old. Has some issues. I would too if I was 150.
Yes, but again, you know, a private home, part of Rochester's flower history, I actually worked at the Rose Mansion and Gardens. I had a flyer from them in my records that I left on my desk. I checked people in because I just graduated from the U of R at that point, and so I spent a fair amount of time at the Alwinger estate in its previous lifetime, and so I just have fond memories of what a beautiful property it is, and the different rooms that you have, the veranda. I mean, it's gorgeous. People can see it online, right, and get a sort of a preview?
They can. They can go to alwingerstate.com directly, and you had a dream job. That was phenomenal, working with Ginny and Steve Ferrante then. And again, they had 10 rooms, so they tell me about the events and the undertakings and the people who still come back and say, oh, I was married there. I had my anniversary there. I celebrated a birthday there. They still come back and remember it fondly. So, yeah, so it hasn't changed, except it's gone from 10 rooms to 4, which means there's so much room to spread out and enjoy the grounds. And some things have been updated, obviously. Certainly technology and Wi-Fi and boosters and lighting and plumbing, but the veranda is amazing. It was rebuilt and to its original specifications. And so that's my favorite outdoor room.
Especially today. It's 55 degrees. It'll be a nice day for it.
And it gets the southern sun, so it's beautiful. Right, right.
Now, what's the guest house? Because you've added that recently.
That was a surprise to me. I thought my neighbor, who was fabulous, was going to be there for years to come. And one day, approximately two years ago, I saw a for sale sign, and I said, really? He said, Rosemary, I'm relocating to the country. I've got, you know, family and other responsibilities, so I really want you to buy this. And at that time, it wasn't meant to be. But fast forward about 9 months,
like a gestation. And I said, you know, I think it's calling me. So it was a huge, it is a huge undertaking. So it was sold as is. And that was built in 1875 by Henry Ellwanger, the second of the Ellwanger sons. He had four. And Henry had an architect, Cutler. Cutler, you might know, he was the mayor of Rochester. He was a writer, an architect, and his claim to fame was the mail chute, which was actually the United States Post Office adopted that as their to-go mail chute. And then, you know, that was his fortune and fame. Anyway, it was built in the Gothic Revival style, and it's so different from this home. This, the bed and breakfast, is an open floor plan. Next door at 609, which is the guest house, it's a more tidy, laid-out, closed floor plan. So you'll have dueling parlors with side-to-side fireplaces and a huge staircase and amazing space. Now, you got to remember, this was abandoned for 50 years.
Really?
And then when, just left with one light burning in the attic. And when Helen Ellwanger died in 1982, she bequeathed 609 as well as 625 and everything, actually, the gardens and the carriage house and the potting sheds and the orchard to the Landmark Society and gave them 100,000 plus to do as they see fit. Well, they started putting roofs and porches and gutters and revamping the kitchen because trees were growing out of it. Left alone for 50 years, that's what happened.
Right.
After that, they said, oh my gosh, the money's gone, and she really only cared about the gardens, so they sold the houses, and that's when the Ferrantes stepped in and opened up the Rose Mansion Garden. And the Landmark kept the Ellwanger Garden and still, to this very day, are still caring for it and loving on it. So, yeah, so next door was quite the undertaking. So after the Landmark finished with the roofs and the gutters and the porches, then there were several other people who owned it. And then fast forward, I bought it a year ago. And it was still quite an undertaking, still is. But it's phenomenal. It's all decked out. Thank you to a wonderful designer and Louis Steth with Abode Property Service. He was amazing. He said, this is a great property. I would love to work with you, and let's go shopping. And so
wow.
It's fully furnished and renovated, and currently the house, what I call the house, the first and second floor, is rented, but there is a third floor apartment, which is done in kind of a mid-century kind of motif, and it's beautiful, totally renovated. So now, truly, it's the Ellwanger compound.
Right. And again, kind of hidden. So if you walk down Mount Hope Avenue, that stone wall is too high to look over, but the guest house is a little more visible from the street.
It is. And it has been referred to as House Beautiful. It's amazing. It has seven gables, and again, it's in the Gothic Revival style, but it also has some East Lake features, and it has a wraparound veranda, and what's nice about it is that it's authentic. It's true. You know, we kept everything as authentic as possible, refinished the floors and, you know, kept the lighting, but rewired. And right now it lends itself beautifully to a family who really likes new old and who wants to be an urban walking area, so close to U of R, walking distance. So, yeah. And with Swiftwater down the street and Highland Park and Artful Gardener and Mount Hope Cemetery and College Town, it's just the place to be. It's fabulous.
And Mount Hope Cemetery right now is really beautiful, probably not as crowded as Highland Park is, which is also beautiful now, but you are steps away from Mount Hope Cemetery on Mount Hope. But people... it's not open to the public. You can't just drive in to look around, right? It's for guests only.
It is. Now, does that deter people? No. People will come to the gardens, and then out of curiosity, they'll travel around the private property. I understand that. Absolutely. I'm of that nature. I'm curious as well. I just ask that people mind wearing masks and stick to the garden. It's what they came for, and that's appropriate. But, people can certainly call, and I am open. And what's nice about that is probably one or two guests that come, and they virtually have a whole mansion to themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's stunning properties, and again, often during the Lilac Festival, the Elmwinger Gardens would be open for tours. The Landmark Society would open them, but I assume probably won't be doing that this year or the spring, but maybe later this summer. And they also, Landmark Society has volunteers that help on certain days or nights each week to work in that garden. And if you're interested in doing that, check with the Landmark Society to see if that's going on now, or they'll let you know when it does.
Right. They have a wonderful team of volunteers, some masters, some, you know, relatively novice, but they have a strong team. And they have been asked to refrain from coming to the gardens until this following week, where one or two of them will come, masks and gloves, and, you know, stick to the garden.
Sure.
And it really does need some, it needs some love right now,
right.
As we all do. It's just, it's overgrown and tired, but it is closed for lilac, and probably will be, I don't want to misspeak, but they have peony weekend, typically the second weekend of June. We'll have to stay tuned for that.
Right.
In the meantime, to celebrate the garden and to celebrate what's growing here, because it is like on steroids right about now, I am having plant sale for the next three Sundays from 11 to 2. And the nominal fee will help tend to the gardens, and they'll have a chance to actually take home some Elwanger lilacs or fernleaf peonies or European ginger, Solomon seal. And actually, really the most important thing is just to make sure they know that I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I feel like my stewardship is even more important right now. And so
absolutely.
I'm taking the time, like we all do, right, to, you know, read and Zoom and work out in the garden and tend to the animals and do projects and market and write newsletters. So, yeah, so the presence is still here. I'm not going anywhere. And loving on the place, because it does need it, and we all need that right now.
Well, and, you know, the Berry home across the street from you is where the provost, or has been where the provost of the University of Rochester lives, the Elwanger and Berry donated the property for Highland Park, and there's just so much of Rochester's history is tied to these two homes and their business. It's really, I hope people will come and stay with you at some point so they can experience the house. And then, you know, but as events and things will be allowed at some point, find a way to come and see it and just to see what you've done with that beautiful mansion. So,
well, thank you, Michael. And you put your finger right on the pulse. Experience it is quite right. I had a guest who said the exact same thing, and it was beautifully done. He said, if you do not stay at the Elwanger estate, you are not getting the Rochester experience. So I appreciate that for noticing. And Elwanger's did have quite a finger on the pulse in the 1800s. Largest horticultural center in the world in the 1860s, and shipped cherry trees to Japan and citrus fruit to California. But not only that, it goes on to the first Christmas tree that George Elwanger brought to Rochester. And you still see buildings and parks, the Elwanger Berry buildings and nursery and school and parks that are still around. So my job is to keep the legacy alive.
Well, again, check it out online, elwangerestate.com, right?
Right.
All right. Rosemary, thank you. I really appreciate this beautiful morning. You could have been out on the veranda. Or maybe you are talking on the phone. I don't know.
Yes,
but
I am. You bet.
Excellent.
Thank you, Michael, so much. It was a pleasure.
Enjoy the day.
Okay, you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Rosemary Janofsky. She is the owner of the Elwanger Estate and the new guest house, which is next door. Just stunning properties here in Rochester. And she mentioned the Elwanger Garden, managed by the and owned by the Landmark Society of Western New York. So great segue to talk to Brian Nagel from the Genesee Country Village and Museum, which is also preserving history in like 70 buildings, something like that. And Brian Nagel's with us now, the director of interpretation for the Genesee Country Village Museum. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Michael. Good to be here.
Thank you. And the museum would be getting ready for opening. You would have had an antique show in April. You would have had maple sugaring in March. So give us an update on what's happening.
Well, we are we're currently closed closed to the public and most of the staff through at least May 15th, and we're considered a non-essential business. But we have a small essential team of staff on board. Some of our administration folks are taking turns on different days. Our farmers are in, caring for all of our animals at the museum. And we're looking at opening toward the end of May or early June. Normally it's a Mother's Day weekend for the public, for our general opening. We normally have been seeing school tours coming through, guided tours in late April and early May. But we're looking forward to restrictions being lifted, a New York pause being relaxed a bit, and the ability to actually allow folks in. It's quite possible we're going to see a phased opening this year, where we may allow guests to come in, certainly wander our 5 miles of Nature Center trails, to get out of the house and in keeping to social distancing regulations, and then to allow folks to walk through the historic village before we open up buildings with staff in them to greet folks as well. Everybody's anxious to see our guests again and to see one another again out of the museum as well.
Right. I mean, it's an extended family of volunteers, right?
It's a combination of paid staff and volunteers as well. We have between 400 and 500 volunteers that work with us during the course of the year. Our baseball program staff, about 100 of them, are all volunteers that are out there. We have volunteers helping out with very special events that we do, Nature Center volunteers doing our checks of bird boxes and helping facilitate different programs. But they're an important part of what we do. But most of the folks you see in costume out in the historic village are all paid staff that come out and work with us seasonally for the most part and really love being out there and sharing what we know, what we do with the public.
And you have some curbside options, maple syrup in particular, but other things?
We do. We started a few weeks ago with our maple products, being able to showcase what we do. Would have done a maple top actually as well. We started out with fish fries and with pulled pork. This weekend, or the May 1st, we're doing on Friday a barbecue chicken special with homemade garlic mashed potatoes, roasted vegetables, and a dinner roll for $14. The curbside pickup is driving up to the admissions area. People will bring out food to you, possibly beverages as well, any maple products you may have ordered. You can order a cake this week as well from Cake Place Avon, our partners, in this curbside pickup. And we'll put it into your trunk for you, or the hatchback of your vehicle, and you can drive off. Orders have to be made, though, for the cakes on our website by Monday at 4, and for the barbecue chicken dinner by Wednesday at 4. For the pickup on Friday, May 1st, between 4 and 6:30 in the afternoon.
And Cake Place does some pretty incredible cakes in Avon, so that's a great partner for you.
They're very tasty. There are four or five options, I believe, for those. There's a triple chocolate, a lemon cake with raspberry filling, and a cheesecake with strawberries. So some nice options there for folks to check out on our website.
And what else have you added online for people to maybe experience from home while the museum is closed?
A lot of great resources for folks to do. We actually have a family fun and learning page now on the museum's website, along with the other options you could have gone through to order things, including some online exhibits, online collections. We have some great new videos, coloring pages there as well, some neat learning features with simple machines, and looking now at increasing our video options that are available. There's a story time we do now that's posted on our YouTube channel, but also on our Facebook page. Every day now, like so many other organizations across the country are doing, we have Trivia Day, a Story Time Day. We do Nature Center days as well. We do Fun Facts. Some of the virtual tours of the village and some buildings are there as well. And so it's a great resource. We're expanding things on a regular basis. And what we found is we're seeing a lot of activity coming up with our Facebook pages, our Pinterest page, as well as people following us on Instagram and checking out our website for things. What's nice is not only things you can do and watch as a family on the website, but also some activities to do at home as well. You can download some things, work on them there as well, and have a great time connecting with us, even though we're closed right now to the public.
I saw, I think, a couple of videos from your nature interpreter under the pond in a underwater video of pond life that were fascinating.
They're great. It's certainly work that Alyssa Lynch is doing with our Magisto system and with the core of people over there at the Nature Center as well. I really enjoy our trail cam as well as the underwater features also.
Earlier this week, you said that there were some new animals that were going to be at the museum.
We just had a hatching of about seven goslings at the Pioneer Barn, and I believe you'll see early this week some new lambs that we just had born at the museum as well. We're looking at hopefully some more chickens and some turkeys coming on site this season as well. And as we get them hatched or brought on board, we'll get some pictures of those up onto our Facebook page and Instagram as well.
Now, this for museums and not-for-profits like this all over the country. It's a time when your income is way down because you have not been able to do your special events, so memberships are maybe more important now than ever, aren't they?
They certainly are, and as you go to the museum's website, there'll be a chance to actually make a donation to what we do and our programs and our staff and all the learning activities we offer to school students when they're on-site and now off-site as well. And I can tell you, too, that when people start signing up for memberships now, the membership will go on for 14 months. Any new memberships coming on board online now, it'll be for 14 months rather than just for the year. And as I think you know, Michael, quite well, it's not only discounts for things, people that are ordering the curbside chicken dinner this week. We get 10% off on that. Items in the store, members will get 10% off on those orders as well. And certainly memberships get you into all the daytime activities when the museum is open. So you'll have a chance to come out for the next 14 months once we open, most likely in June this year, and really have a chance to come out, enjoy the peace and the quiet, the birds that will be singing out there as well. It's a great time of year as we open to all the gardens start coming on, all the flowering shrubs and bushes and so forth. It's really a great way to see the nature come alive on the Nature Center trails as well as in the gardens in the village.
Well, it's gcv.org. You can get more details. And, Brian, thanks for all your work to put so much material online for people to enjoy, and look forward to seeing you here in the near future.
You as well, Michael. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
It's Brian Nagel, Director of Interpretation for the Genesee Country Village and Museum. As he said, it's closed now, and normally it doesn't open until Mother's Day, but will remain closed at least through May 15th, possibly in June. You have to follow on their website, but consider getting a membership in the meantime. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040. Very appropriate music for Genesee Country Village and Museum, and they do a Fiddler's Fair in the summer. Hopefully that will be able to happen this summer. We have some great sponsors, without which I wouldn't be on the radio. Those include Rohrbach Brewing Company. Rohrbach's has two locations, the Brew Pub on Buffalo Road, just west of Manitow, and the Beer Hall on Railroad Street by the Public Market. Both of them are open for takeout only. They closed for a week, 10 days to kind of revamp things and do it more efficiently, make an easier experience for customers, safer for them cooking in the kitchen, and somewhat of a reduced menu to streamline things. When you order takeout, you should consider getting some beer, a couple 4-packs of Space Kitty or Scotch Ale or Red Wings Ale, which is out now. The spring has arrived. That's Rohrbach's.com to get more information. And both locations open for takeout. Also brought to you by Glenora Wine Cellars. They are shipping wine. You can also pick it up. I'm headed down this week to pick up some wine from Glenora, along with a case of dry rosé from 12 different wineries. Glenora has some delicious wines for you to get. They can ship them to your door, ship them to family and friends. If you want to send someone a thank you, send them a couple bottles of wine from Glenora. They have sparkling wine and fruit wines. They have beautiful dry reds. They have many options, including a port style wine. It's at glenora.com to get more details. And finally, brought to you by Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport. They are considered an essential business during the shutdown, and they can deliver bicycles for you if you purchase one. You can also visit their store, and they can fix your current bicycle so you can get out and hit the trails in this beautiful weather. Today would be a nice day to be on a bicycle. FullMoonVista.com, you can get more information. Lots of accessories and lights and reflective gear so that you're safe on the bicycle. And pumps, whatever you might need. It's FullMoonVista.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here on an absolutely stunning day. It's actually normal temperatures, I think, this time of the year. It's just been so cold. Wind chills in the 30s for most of the last, I don't know, 6 months or lower. Today's just going to feel amazing. And it's just going to bring a bunch of things into bloom. Some of the buds on the grapevines might start to think about opening. It's a little early. They'll probably open in May, but this starts that process with a nice day. And speaking of wine, we have the executive director of the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance with us right now, Carmela Barbagallo. Good morning, Carmela.
Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
You know, I have to say, I've been struggling like everyone else the last few weeks, just a couple months, but seeing the sunshine, the warm weather, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's sunshiny here where I am in the Finger Lakes, and it's really welcome at this point. It's been so dreary.
So what is the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance? There are lots of wine trails, and and there are tourist organizations like Finger Lakes Wine Country and Visit Finger Lakes, but what's the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance?
The Finger Lakes Wine Alliance focuses on interacting with the trade, and I'll get to our description of the trade in just a minute, but really our mission is very simple. We want to increase the visibility and the reputation of the Finger Lakes AVA, or and its wines and its wineries. So we have a simple mission. We interact with, like I said, the trade. So that's people who could buy our wine or write about the Finger Lakes wines. We have a submission program where we submit wine on behalf of our members to trade magazines like Wine Spectator, Wine Enthusiast, and Wine and Spirits, so that we're sending the wines in a concerted fashion, and we can get the attention of those trade journals to kind of give attention to our region. And in addition to writers or journalists, we interact with buyers, and that would be people in a retail shop or a restaurant that purchase wine. And now, more than ever, we're interacting with folks on digital media, like wine influencers.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. I got disconnected somehow. My apologies. And sorry about that, Carmela.
That's okay.
It just suddenly everything disappeared here, and I was talking to myself.
Oh,
I
no.
couldn't hear you.
I don't know if you heard what I was saying. Did you get that?
I think I got most of it. And the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance is kind of unique in that sense in your mission, where you're not geared to the tourists but more to the industry and the trade, and your members. How many members do you have in the Wine Alliance?
We have 31 members that we represent.
And so you kind of have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in this shutdown with the wineries, and you put out a press release a few days ago about some of the things that the wineries are doing to engage with the public, really.
Yes. We've been really trying to stay in front of media outlets because they're helping us carry our message. And I'd love to tell you a little bit about what some of the wineries are doing. They've really had to change their whole marketing plans for 2020 that they had in place, and they were kind of kicking off the year. My organization, the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance, plans a number of events throughout the year. We do event marketing. So we get in front of those members of the trade, like wine buyers, and show them our wines. We visit different regions. And we had to postpone many of our events for the spring. The wineries themselves have had to do the same thing. They're completely changing their marketing plans. They're putting a lot of efforts into the list of customers that they have, people that might be in their wine club or people that have visited their tasting room, and they're connecting with them via email and online, reaching out. The big message that I've absorbed is kind of how much someone's dollar can really help out these wineries. Any small purchase will add up to keep these businesses going right now as their tasting room traffic is diminished. And so they've been so happy that these digital media channels are working to communicate with their customers. Many of them, like Lamoro Landing on Seneca Lake, is executing a weekly happy hour on Thursdays. And you can find information for that on their Facebook page. And they have the owner, one of the co-owners, and their winemaker presenting wines and talking about wines. One thing we're seeing is that wineries are inviting people to participate whether or not they have time to pre-order those exact wines for that tasting.
Right, so some cases you can pre-order the wines and have them right in front of you to taste, but that's not essential.
Absolutely, and I love that. That feels very welcoming. For me, I have lots of wine here. I've been in the wine business for a while, and I want to participate. I just want to connect, and that's what the wineries are finding, that people are just appreciating the chance to see other faces, connect with other wine enthusiasts, and learn while you're watching, maybe during a happy hour. You mentioned some pre-ordering the wines. Heron Hill is getting to ready to roll out one of their live tastings with one of their managing partners, Eric Frary, and he has a kit set up for tasting. Something that they did really early on is offered wine flight kit that you could order, and they included the aroma wheel, so you could describe the flavors of the wine that you're smelling and tasting, and it was a little bit more interactive.
Eric, I'm going to have Eric on the wine show tomorrow. We'll talk to him.
Oh, great. And he's just a great example of someone who has had a background in sales and is managing the winery, but he's had to completely transform his sales approach to online venues. And, you know, Eric can tell you more about it tomorrow, but he, you know, many of us, and including Eric, you know, you're not comfortable with that when you're first starting out. But not only have these people had to do this, you know, this new task of presenting themselves online or planning events online, but they had to learn it on the fly.
Right. Now, one of the advantages of doing it this way, I think, is that you get to meet the owners, the winemakers, whereas normally when you go to a tasting room, especially as a busier season would come along and summer that you would not meet the owner or the winemaker, but online with these tastings, whether it's Bruce Murray from Boundary Breaks or John Ian Wagner from Wagner Vineyards, you get to meet some of these people and maybe a more personal connection with them that way.
Absolutely, and it's really delightful. So Bruce and Diana from Boundary Breaks have been doing kind of behind-the-scenes reviews of everything from tasting their wines to a little bit of a look into the vineyard. And that's been really enchanting just to get to know them a little better. Bruce Murray is the chair of the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance, and so I work with him very closely. But I've gotten to know him even better through these little episodes that they've implemented. And then you mentioned the Wagner family. So they're fourth and fifth generation grape growers. And I always learn so much from the Wagners. But last Friday night, it was a very chilly night. They were out in the vineyard fighting the wind, but doing a really well done Facebook Live event where they taught people about, the way that they protect the base of the plants and the vines during the winter. And so they were uncovering dirt and showing you that view into the vineyard. So these are things, like you said, you're getting to know the owners or the winemakers or the vineyard managers, and they're making it really fun and interactive for people to follow along.
And these are people that, you know, this is a young region, and these are the key people that are building this region. I mean, Mark Wagner, when he built the Lamoureux Landing, architecturally, it's still one of the most beautiful wineries, and that was built maybe 30 years ago. But these are people that in the future, books will be written about how they built this industry. And if you see them online and connect with them that way, when you visit the winery, when you go to a wine dinner in the future, you'll feel like you already know them. I mean, that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're getting kind of that inside view. And something I've always found with the Finger Lakes wineries and their staff is that people are very friendly when you get to meet them, and they're also really helpful to each other. It's a great community that works really well together. So these events will let you start to see that side of their personalities more than ever.
Now, the Finger Lakes, if there's one grape we're known for, it's Riesling, and this May would be the main Riesling month, right? And you'd be doing tastings for industry of restaurants, and I think there was going to be one in New York City, events all over the state and all around the Northeast, maybe and around the country. And so the fact you can't do these, it's kind of crucial timing for our best-known grape.
It is. We had a number of, we call Riesling our signature grape. It's what our region is best known for, the number one produced grape here. The style is shows a lot of minerality, and we have great acidity provided in our wines. And we were in the process of rolling out our Riesling Roadshow for the year, and then another event called Riesling Camp. So the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance is working to revamp our event program so that we can connect with folks and show them our Rieslings and other wines. Right now, as we speak, we're getting ready to roll out a virtual Riesling Camp.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's that Riesling Camp is for the industry, not for consumers. But
right.
You know, maybe there's a place for you know, consumers to go to camp and learn about Riesling in the future.
That's something we're definitely thinking about.
All right, Carmela, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it, and good luck for Finger Lakes Wine Alliance as
thank
we go forward
so
here.
Thank
Have a great
you so
day.
Much. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye bye. FingerLakesWineAlliance.com. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine from 9 to 11 here on WYSL 1040. Enjoy this beautiful day.